important step in your church life. I do bless you for taking this courageous step, even though there's some anxiety with it and causes a little stress in maybe couples and families and children. But it is a necessary step, so I wish you God's blessing in that. For a message, for a text this morning, you may open your Bibles to Acts chapter 13 and then verse 36. I'd like to key into this verse and share some inspiration. This is Paul speaking here. He's teaching the resurrection of Jesus in the surrounding verses. And he's explaining how this was prophesied in the Psalms. In verse 36 of Acts 13, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. Verse 37, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. So the point is that David saw corruption, and Jesus was different. But the title of the message is Serve Your Generation, taken from that phrase there, served his own generation. The purpose of this message is to is that we would get an increased sense of burden to serve our generation. And I'm not saying that this morning to a few brethren or a few couples that could be in focus this week for a change of life work. But I share this message for everyone, that you have a burden and an increased burden to serve your generation. And I say it to the children as well. I thought of Paul's nephew. He heard something, and he took a walk to the castle. He said, you know what? Paul needs to know about this, what I heard, that they're going to try to kill him. And then Paul told his nephew, he said, now you go tell the chief captain. And, it says there, the chief captain took him by the hand. So he might have been just a pretty young boy. But he was serving his generation by doing that. So children, you don't have to wait till you get big. You can serve your generation when you're small. And that's really important. We do need to know, too, that this opportunity to serve our generation is very short. We need to keep remembering that. I was reminded of that yesterday at the sale of Lewis and Ella Groff. It would be an uncle and aunt to Howard, and also Dave Groff. Of course, they have passed away, and they had a big sale of property and all the things they had. They had a yard was just full with many things to sell. And I had called my dad in the morning and said, well, what are you doing? Do you want to go along to the sale? No, he said, we have a circle letter friends group, but it's just going to be a few of us. He named a few. He said, it's only going one way. It keeps getting smaller and smaller. And he said, mentioned one couple that, well, he has got a stroke. He won't be there. So it's only going one way for the rest of us. And that door of opportunity to serve our generation. Last evening, we stopped in at church a little bit, and there was double rainbow at church, and I went over to Chad's gravestone a little bit, and it was another reminder that it's just a short time to serve your generation. None of us knew how short his opportunity would be to serve his generation. Well, circling back to David here, how did he start serving his generation? It says he served his own generation by the will of God. Then he fell asleep. He died. He had his opportunity, and then it was over. Well, let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We raise that question, is how shall we start serving our generation? how do we continue to do this? And 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 to 37. So this is breaking in, and we know David had visited his brothers there, and it was a story of Goliath, and then he's in front of Saul here. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." Just a few thoughts from this story. How shall we start serving our generation? How shall we continue? Do we write a few goals down of how we want to be a difference maker in our church and our family and our community and so forth? Well, I think number one is to seek to know God. This boy David had a strong living faith in the living God. I don't think David was aspiring to be some great man. Even though you look in the Strong's Concordance, his name is throughout the Bible hundreds and hundreds of times. And you look in Revelation, the very last chapter, Jesus even mentions him. Jesus isn't called the son of Abraham or the son of Jacob. You know, Jesus refers himself as the son of David. He says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Well, I don't think David was aspiring to be some great man and be known by millions of people and do great things. But the Bible does say that he was a man after God's own heart. And we have that right in our text there, just backing up Acts in verse 22. Says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." So at that time, David had a heart that was free of pride, free of self. It was a heart that God said, "His heart's like mine." But thinking of what David said to Saul, you know, what gave David such courage and confidence? Well, my answer to that is surely it's his God connection. That God wasn't some mystery. It wasn't some higher being somewhere. And I marvel at that. You know, he wasn't sitting out there reading the book that I like is The Heart of God by David Burkhorst. He didn't have that book to read and learn more about God. He didn't go to Bible school. And yet somehow he had a strong living faith in God. And it was his God connection. You know, when he was in front of Saul there and answering these questions, it wasn't a show for the cameras so that, you know, he becomes popular. He was just being genuine and real. But it was that he knew God, and he had such confidence that, hey, if God took care of the bear and the lion, and he took care of it there, he's going to take care of this. And I can see how if he had that close relationship with God, that when God spared him from the lion, can you see David kneeling in prayer and just thanking God, "God, you did it again. Thank you. I love you. Continue to take care of me." He was genuine. This wasn't trying to impress people that, you know, he has some type of close relationship with God. young people, you want to make a difference, and I know you do. What is the answer? Start knowing God. That's the answer. Start knowing God. And the other things will fall in its place. All of us need to aspire to learn to know God better. And that will prepare us to serve our generation. Secondly, thinking of how can we serve our generation is be aware and care. Notice here that David did see the bear and the lion. Some shepherds would have not noticed the missing lamb till the end of the day. My numbers are off. Whatever happened? Can you imagine some youth out there checking, being shepherds, but they would have earbuds in, they'd have a screen there, and, the sheep, where are the sheep? Well, he wasn't like that. To serve our generation, we need to be aware and we need to care. And I believe an awareness and a caring will move us to action in many areas. It will move us to action in family, church, community, work, school. Otherwise, we're going to just run from the bears and the lions that are out to destroy us. We will be afraid. We may not even be afraid because we're not aware. We're not, and maybe some just don't care. Well, moving on. Thirdly, how can we help ourselves to serve our generation? I wanted to mention, I think I missed that in the beginning, that this word served, looking in Strong's, number 5256, this is the only time that it's different than all the other words, served and served. And it means to care for needs, ministered. And I really like that, that David cared for the needs of his generation. Thirdly, is faithful in our alone moments. What we do when we're all alone is very significant. Your private victories will not be hidden. They will show. At the same time, private defeats will also show. They will not stay private. And I think if David was here in the audience, he'd say, amen, that's right. Private defeats don't stay private, but neither do private victories. They finally end up showing themselves. And I think we would all say that when we look at our life. We've all learned that, have we not? That it works that way. Proverbs 28. Verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaking them shall have mercy. That's a really important verse. It's one that we should never forget and have close to our heart. Because what's going on inside eventually comes out. And we need to deal with our inside. So David was faithful, I believe, in his alone moments out there taking care of the sheep. It's very important. I have something in front of my Bible that I really liked, and it's what's in your bucket. If you were walking back from a well carrying a bucket of water and someone jostled you, there could be spilled from that bucket only that which it contained. As you walk along the way of life, people are constantly bumping into you. If your heart is full of ill nature, bad temper, and ugly disposition, only those things will be spilled from it. On the other hand, if it is full of love, you will spill a smile or a pleasant remark. You can spill from your bucket only that which it contains. So, if we want to serve God in our generation, it's very important that we're dealing with everything that's in our bucket. because if we have things in our heart, in our life, that isn't right, it's going to keep us from being effective. And the Bible says it will not prosper, and that's true. Sometimes there's been accounts where there's no reason. Why don't this business prosper? Well, the problem was sin in the life of the owner, and it's because of that verse. So let's be a faithful in our lone moments, because that's important if we're going to be effective in serving our generation. Fourthly is take on new opportunities. David could have said here, I've done enough. I've helped my dad on the ranch. I've risked my life a few times trying to be a good shepherd. And now why should I be the one to risk my life again? It's someone else's turn to do this. And plus, I have older brothers. Why don't they step up to the plate and do this? They should rise to the challenge. And we may wonder that in church life sometimes. Why don't others do more? Why does the question come back to us again, that we need to see if we're willing to fill the empty slot? Some that are named may feel that way. It's like, we have enough to do. Our plate is full. We have plenty of work. We're not looking for something else. Well, David didn't waste a lot of energy thinking, why don't others fight Goliath? He could have pondered that. Just, why don't others? We got thousands of people here that have more experience with fighting than I do. But you know what he did? He did what he believed God wanted him to do. So he did it. And that's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to each of us, is it not? To just do what we're called to do. And in our text that mentions after the will of God. He served his generation. That's a really important concept that, you know, God has a will for each of us. Moving on, fifthly, is to be obedient, humble, and wise. And we know how this turned out. There was success. And 1 Samuel 18, verse 5, just a page back, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, behaved himself wisely, and the Saul set over him the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Moving over to verses 14 through 16. And David behaved him wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. It's very interesting that I looked up what that meant there, that he went out and came in. And the Amplified says that he publicly associated with them. You know, he wasn't up here somewhere, but he was just an average man and related to everybody. You see how so often when a person or group, they have success and they start to realize that, they are making a difference. And I've seen this often with some popular singing groups. Well, once they start changing their values and they change because they, you know, there's a lot of people can't handle popularity. None of us can, I don't think, too well without something, a real good God connection. But this is what it's saying here in my mind is, this did not go to his head. He was obedient to God, he was humble, and he was wise. So many, the human heart finds it really difficult to navigate popularity and those that get a following. I thought of a little conversation I had yesterday with a friend at the sale yesterday. He's a horse and buggy Mennonite. And he worked for us for over 25 years. He worked for us when he was single and finally worked for us until he had boys to take his place. And yeah, he was a tremendous worker. He threw tens of thousands of turkeys into the picker. We didn't have a conveyor or anything. He just slugged those things in the picker. He was tough as nails. Well, a few years ago, he was ordained a preacher. And I asked him, I said, well, what are you preaching tomorrow? And yeah, he's on the circuit. And they rotated around the Wanger Church. Like this church he was going to, he said he goes there four times this year. They do a lot more rotating than what we're used to. And I said, well, do you preach the same things sometimes? How does this work? Well, he said, you know what? That's not very nice for his wife. He said one of the other preachers said, oh, he feels so bad for his wife. She has to listen to me all the time. And you know what he said? He said, I try to keep it interesting for my wife. Now, that was a take-home for me, and I'll never forget that. He said, I try to keep it interesting for my wife. And that, as I pondered that, that told me a lot. And I know him well, and I suspected that surely we'd have a good marriage. But it underscored it, that you know what? He cares about his wife. So when he's in his horse and buggy this morning, heading to that church to preach, you know what? He wants to have a good message and have it interesting for the person right next to him. And that told me a lot. I heard he's a good preacher. One of the youth that worked for me, she said, oh, you won't fall asleep. So we went to hear to him last summer. But this Paulie that I'm talking about is a good example of being obedient, humble, and wise. Not trying to get a following, just preaching the Bible and trying to keep it interesting to his wife. Sounds like a pretty safe position. Well, moving on quickly, this is my last point. You have many good examples here at Elm Street that have served your generation, that are serving, obedient, humble, wise. As I thought back 30 years ago, we would have been here for a Sunday morning service. That fall 30 years ago in 1996, Holy Elbow started, and a few of us supported that work. But I think back of many good memories here and many faithful brethren. Some have gone on. Some are serving other places. Sidney Gingrich, I think of him at times. Something he said, too, is, just be glad you can go. And instead of, you know, complaining that you have to go again, just be glad you can go. And I think about that sometimes. But you have had many good, faithful brethren, where it was Ivan Jr. and Ronnie and Dave Groff. And, of course, before that, there was others, Harry Erb. And, of course, a whole slew of lay brethren that have blazed the trail here, whether it was Ed and Dad and Galen, over 50 years of service and the deacon work. Of course, it was Elvin Dottrick, Elvin Epperswell, many that served so well, were obedient, humble, and wise. But obviously, you know, this next generation, like my dad said, it's only going one way. And that's why there needs to be younger ones that are getting interested and excited and enthused to serve their generation. We need that. You know, whoever you are this morning, you have been named to serve your generation. Everyone here in this room has been born somewhere between 1936 and 2026. All of us had a birthday between 1926 and 2026. It could have been different. It could have been 1736 and 1826. And then what? We'd all be dead. We'd all be gone. We'd have served our generation. But we're here. We're here, and we've been set here for a reason. You've been named to serve your generation. And my last statement is here is to that you would embrace it and do it with enthusiasm. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.